Hi, I'm Femi Oke. It has been a tough 2 years for teachers around the world, and record numbers are leaving the profession. So today on the stream, we ask about the major issues that teachers have and what support they need.
I do feel burnout, but that's a process that comes from before the pandemic for teachers who feel like that here in Brazil. In the past decades, we have been dealing with violence in classrooms, low salaries, the lack of material and support, and the rates of teachers who leave the career are quite high here in the past years.
But during this time of this pandemic, I think that incentive was kind of taken away from them because that connection was just gone because of this whole online platform. And so that eventually led to feeling burnt out.
We don't have any stake in the system. We're always told this is what we have to do while seeing all the inequalities that our students experience on a day-to-day basis. And so we aren't given the say and the power to actually go about and having our ideas implemented to change those systems.
We have a lineup of three A-plus educators to help us understand what is going on with teachers around the world today. We have Rabina and Simona and Lydia. Really good to have all of you here. Rabina, please introduce yourself to our global audience.
Hi, my name is Rabina Majid, and thank you for having me on this show. I have been an educator for a long period of time, and right now I am in India, in the southern part of India called Hyderabad, the city called Hyderabad, and I train teachers out here. I also do a lot of reading lessons with the underprivileged kids.
All right, so good to have
pandemic.
You. Yeah, great,
thank you.
Great to have you. Hello, Simona. Going to another part of the world so we get a really good global view of what teachers are doing right now. Good to have you. Please introduce yourself. Tell our audience who you are and what you do.
Hi, I'm Simona Muniz, and I teach middle school, 7th grade, 12 to 13-year-olds. And I am a bit of a newbie. I'm only in my fifth year of teaching currently. And I'm so excited to be here and to talk with the other teachers.
Oh, so good to have you. And hello, Lydia. Good to see you. Welcome to the stream. Introduce yourself to our audience around the world.
This is Lydia Nyaganza from South Africa, in the Western Cape province. I'm a teacher in a township, in one of the townships in Cape Town. In the heart of Khayelitsha. I've been teaching now for more than two decades. I am teaching the grade 11s and the grade 12s, which is the ages around 16, 17, 18 years. Thank you.
All right, good to have you. So you've met our educators. If you understand burnout and teaching, you live with a teacher, you are a teacher, the comments section on YouTube is open and thriving right now. Educators, are you ready for the first comment from YouTube? I wonder if you can relate to this. This is Prop Mythic. Teacher here. Kids are completely out of control. Admins aren't helping. Parents are against us. Kids know all of this and take advantage. Wow, what a way to start the show. Simona, you are smiling. Can you relate to this? What happened during COVID that the children are now back at school for the most part and not necessarily behaving the same way they were back in January 2020?
Yes. Well, the behavior has gotten a lot more extreme. I am lucky. I have a great rapport with my kids, so I don't experience as much disrespect as I hear that my colleagues do. And I think the biggest issue with COVID and the kids is mental health. Mm. I got some quotes from my kids because I thought their voice also needed to be represented. So I noticed the common thread throughout the comments is mental health. I think being stuck at home was bad for mental health.
Yeah. Rabina, I'm wondering what difference you are seeing in either your teachers that you're teaching and nurturing, or the children that they are teaching because of COVID and because of the lockdown. There were some parts of the world that had really extensive lockdowns that kids couldn't get into school, teachers couldn't get into school. Rabina.
For me, the hardest part was, like, if I take a step backwards and when we started with the pandemic, you know, the teachers had to kind of get into that online teaching mode without being trained. So we put in a lot of effort to make sure that they could start teaching online, but it was hard for them. It was, frighteningly alien. Like, it was like, how do I do it? And then finally they got into it, they started doing it. But at the same time, they were also facing a lot of things personally, right? So it was personally as well as professionally. We had a lot of salary cuts. We had teachers who were breadwinners and who they lost their jobs. And on top of that, there were personal losses. So it was kind of hard for the teachers. And at the same time, just like medical professionals, they have to kind of mask their own trauma and everything and go online and teach, right? At the same time, crack those jokes, pull the kids up for their grades. You didn't finish your assignment, you didn't do this. So I saw all that happening with my teachers. And you know what? I think I got something called compassion fatigue, because I was so upset with what was happening with my teachers. It hurt me a lot when I saw teachers doing that. Lydia, would you agree with that?
Yes, I agree with that.
You've been teaching for a long time. And of course, Simona, did you go through that with your colleagues and yourself?
Yes, we went from working like an extra 2 to 4 hours a day outside of school to working like 3 to 6 hours a day. Many of us talked about literally falling asleep at our computer at night, because we did have to learn how to upload a doc so all the kids could access it. None of us really knew this, and it was obvious that district didn't know how to do it either, because there was literally no training, like you said. Zero training.
How did you
do it? And a lot of finger pointing.
Simona, how did you do it? You have no training and suddenly you are online teacher, right?
Well,
how did you do that?
We were kind of heavily dependent on our millennial coworkers. I am going to give them credit. They would hold workshops and kind of talk us all through these skills that we didn't necessarily have that they had grown up with. So a lot of my brand new colleagues, my millennial colleagues, stepped up to the plate and kind of led the tech.
Oh, thank goodness for millennials. Lydia, tell us about your experience, because you are in a township, so resources are going to be tight there. And so when we move school from school to online, I know it's difficult in even the States and the UK, because some kids didn't have laptops. What were you dealing with in the township?
To be honest with you, it was really a struggle for me and also for us as educators, because what was actually happening, for example, we had to open some lines for our educators and also to open some WhatsApp group for our learners. And the struggle started there, because others would complain and say that they do not have sufficient data in order for them to attend the lessons while we're doing them online. So it was really a challenge. Others do not even have cell phones, because they're coming from the background whereby they isn't, or I can say there are financial constraints. So really, it was a struggle. It was difficult for us really to have time also to our learners. So really, the issue of homeschooling, the issue of online teaching, it became a battle, because some of the learners, you find that they don't have smartphones, as I have already alluded. So it was difficult. I remember one time we felt that we tried to work to use the online method, but also we have to try to get some measures whereby the learners will just have to come to school, not for formal learning, but at the gate, maybe at the entrance, we put some documents there for them to have work at home as well. Because what is happening there, most of our learners, they're not staying far from the school. So I think that's one of the advantages. So we have to prepare some work and put them in the entrance and monitor them. And bear in mind that we have to adhere to the COVID or pandemic protocols, social distance, and so on.
Of course.
So, but we've tried to push. Yeah, we've tried to push like that.
So I, it's interesting because for me, what I'm hearing is teaching is hard anyway. Teaching during a pandemic was next level difficult, where Simona, for instance, she was falling asleep at her laptop. That's how difficult it was. One of the things I want to do is we often talk about educators, how hard they work, but we don't always talk about, so how do we fix this situation? And this pandemic isn't going anywhere anytime fast. So let's look at fixes. We talked to a couple of teachers. There's the Irish National Teachers Organization in Ireland, and then Principal Arastu is in Hyderabad in India. They both have some interesting solutions. Let's have a listen.
I think as we look to how we move forward from here as a recovery, we need to look at getting those class sizes down. We need to look at bolstering school funding. Really, really importantly, though, we need to look at building and scaling up the school management teams that we have. You know, a really strong school management team is necessary to deliver quality educations, particularly in a primary setting.
We've taken some steps to try to make teaching hours a little bit more flexible, to allow teachers to take leave, to have part-time timings and work from home. So basically a lot more flexibility has been given regarding their work timings.
Ooh, two really solid suggestions there. Teaching hours. Can I ask you how many hours you teach, Rabina? Rabina's management. She doesn't teach much, I'm sure.
Yes.
She delegates.
But the teachers that are with me, they, you know, the hardest time for them was, you know, they were relying on their personal devices. So now that the school has reopened, so hopefully those smartphones are going to go away, because they didn't even have devices as such. So they were relying on their personal phones. And that really, you know, shaped their workplace. That was it. Their smartphone was their device. They could, you know, conduct classes. And it was so hard for those, because we had teachers, I mean, there was a survey in India that said 60% of the teachers felt burned out at least once a month. That's a lot. That's a lot, right? And when you come home, that smartphone, like, not even come home, right? After you finish work, that smartphone becomes your personal device. So you're like kind of juggling between them. And then, of course, you have calls from the administration, all that. So hopefully things are going to be better when they go back to school. And I think the management, what Mr. Arastu said was really nice. If teachers could be given like mental health days off, if they could get like a couple of days off a month, something like that, that would really help the teachers to, kind of organize themselves and feel better, relax, and then again, come back recharged.
I'm just thinking about the idea of relaxing and being a teacher in the United States, Simona. How does that go down? And hours, how many hours are you doing? Could it be possible to say to your school district, let's have fewer hours so that we can actually just have a life, have a family, spend family time?
Yes. One of the main issues with teacher burnout, I believe, is all the free labor that we're expected to do. And it increased, like doubled during the pandemic. So if we were actually paid for our time or had less like paperwork and we could actually have a life, that would be great. I work three jobs, so the extra time I have is minimal. So if the pay was better, I wouldn't have to work as much. And also if I didn't have to do all those free hours at home, that would help as well.
See, Simona, on YouTube, we have this question. Why isn't education and teachers as valued in the US or the West as it is around the world? You having three jobs means that your job as a teacher isn't valued high enough that you get paid a salary where you only have to focus on your kids at school. Why aren't you valued more?
That's a great question. The pandemic also brought to our attention as teachers that we were seen more as babysitters for the economy to function. We kind of got this attitude thrown at us all the time, like, shut up, get back in the classroom, we have to go to work. So it became apparent that we were seen a lot as babysitters more so than education. And I think in America, they're so focused on controlling and policing the children as opposed to really educating them. So
Simona, yeah, there's somebody in YouTube that wants to have a little debate with you. This is Eric Swift. He's watching right now. He says, poor pay, lol. More time off, lol. What a bunch of privileged babies.
I say, get your degree and get in the classroom right now. Right now.
Yeah, walk in this teacher's shoes for some time. I spent 2 days in the classroom. 2 days, and I would put you in a first grade, and boy, you're going to say no the very next day. I don't know if anybody could last one day with first graders, right? Especially after the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
What do you say, Lydia and Simona?
Yeah. Lydia, let's talk about these, how to make your teaching life, your teaching career better. What would you need? There's suggestions that came from our teacher community. Management, better management, just getting those classrooms smaller, and also having more time off, not necessarily to play, as Eric was suggesting on YouTube, but time off so that you can plan your lessons, plan your work, plan an even better series of courses for your kids. What would you need? What support do you need?
Okay, thank you so much. Before I can respond directly to the question, you've touched something about the minimizing of the number of children. As I have alluded in firstly that I'm teaching in a township, so you find that you have a crowd. Our classes mostly are overcrowded. You are sitting with plus minus, the largest class will have 58 learners in one class. And there is an issue of social distancing. And there is also the curriculum that you have to cover within a specific time. So you find that now you have to deal with the behaviors, because once children are overcrowded, once children are more in one a small space, which is a classroom, you have to deal with discipline, you have to deal with sorts of things before even advancing to what you have to teach on that particular time. Mm-hmm. So really, as teachers, especially in the township, we are suffering or we are struggling with the issue of numbers. That is the first thing that I don't know what the department can do. But the issue of the numbers is really a big challenge for us as educators. And also it leads to some of us just burn out because of anxiety, because of stresses, because we have this pandemic on the other side, and then we have to deal with the behaviors of the learners on the other side. So really, what I think as educators or teachers we need more of wellness programs, because what is actually happening, firstly, we're not trained on how to deal with the issue of pandemic procedures and so on.
Sure,
the only thing that was provided mainly, the only thing that was provided mainly is a document. So you have to study the document and you have to think on how find your own way, maybe on you or maybe sometimes we have to use YouTube to get directives on how to deal with a certain matter.
Yeah.
So there was too much documentation, but less practicality by teachers will be given or will be taken to a workshop whereby they will deal with mental illness. They will deal with psychological maybe illness and so on.
Okay.
So we need that as teachers.
So Lydia, that idea of too much documentation, having teachers in my family, I know that teachers around the world shout this the whole time. Too much documentation. Let us teach. And then don't even get me started on standardized tests, because we don't have enough show for that. All right, so I'm just going to bring in some thoughts here that you inspired educators. Thank you very much for sharing this with you. Bella Karim with us. Bella Karim is on YouTube right now, and she suggests government should ensure how teachers' mental health and other needs should be taken care of. They are challenged and overworked. Yes, says educators. And then Bint Sayed says, this is so true. As a teacher, I faced immense burnout and finally quit. The management doesn't even think that you are human. Working hours should be less for female teachers, as they have a home as well. Let's see what some of our extended teachers community said about mental health. Have a listen, have a look.
We recommend that the government sends more funds to schools so that they can hire more staff. And we also recommend the adoption of professional development training that has elements of mindfulness and cognitive behavioral strategies, because this has been shown to be very successful in helping teachers mitigate stress and burnout.
If there's any way that governments can support teachers through mental health days and higher pay, I truly believe that that would really help teachers. But overall, teachers are definitely thinking about their students all the time, and they love their jobs and they love what they do. So it's more just about finding little things that can help teachers look after themselves a little bit more.
I'm just wondering how often people ask teachers, how are you doing? You're such amazing nurturers of students and even parents often. How much time do you spend on yourself? Rabina, if we're looking at burnout of teachers, what would be one piece of advice you would share with our global audience from your experience of teaching and then teaching teachers? What would you share? What would you suggest?
I think teachers need to learn to say no. You only have so much of time and energy to give. You need to take time to replenish your energy. So be very selective about who you give your time to. Get skilled and also pace yourself. Learn to say no to things when you have too much on your plate. And that's what I've done too. And I think it's important. And to be sure, teachers can't do it alone. I think the school management has to step in, and they play a pivotal role in ensuring that teachers are able to give their best.
Okay.
Like giving a day off, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe a pay increase, just coming back to school.
Definitely really a pay increase.
A pay increase would yes. be so good, right?
Not a maybe, definitely.
I would like that.
All right.
I would like that.
Let me bring in Sarah. Sarah spoke to us a little bit earlier. She's not burned out yet. Have a listen.
I'm not burnt out yet as a teacher, but I feel like it's imminent. You know, every day I can kind of intellectually tap into my resilience reserves, but subconsciously and intuitively, I just know that the pace that I'm keeping and the energy is just not sustainable, especially when you are faced with students dealing with challenges and interruptions due to COVID. These mental health struggles are so very real. And often I feel like I'm the GPS lady recalculating route, you know, with students.
See, Lydia, I spoke to somebody very close to me who happens to be a teacher, and she's working right now. And she told me that they were given a 1-year subscription to a exercise bike that stays in one place. And sometimes they were sent emails to say, hey, are you feeling healthy? Are you feeling okay today? That was it. And sometimes they got coffee gift cards. That was what they got for their mental health. What would you suggest in a sentence would be good for you? What would you like that would make you feel less burned out?
Okay, to deal with the issue of burnout, what helped me, if I can relate to my experience, is to do something that I love most, which is relaxing my mind after work and take a book that I love most. I like to read most of the time.
Oh,
and also... Yeah, and also another thing that I think it assists me, I don't focus only on the teaching career. I'm also involved in women empowerment programs. So we have a variety of more of relaxing programs.
Yeah.
For example, recently we had a picnic just to be part of that.
I love that.
I love that.
It's a little recently. The little things. I'm not sure a picnic is going to fix Simone's working life. But when the weather's nice, it definitely lifts the spirit. Rabina and Lydia and Simona and all of the teachers on YouTube, you are amazing. I salute you. Thank you for your candid comments and your questions. Really appreciate you. I will sign off for now. I'll see you next time. Take care.